DJ Sinyon, 0TR.
W2C, where are you off?
Morning, Rusty. Let me get a drink here. Got a frog in my throat. Oh, I'm sitting down here at the horse pistol waiting on Bernice. And she's getting her carotid arteries checked, and then she's got to run over to the doctor's office.
Good, thanks. Well, just keep yourself out of trouble today and don't get too hot. It's supposed to hit 90 today.
I don't like running the air conditioner and sitting here idling, but, you know, it just gets too darn hot, and there ain't no place to escape the sun out here in this parking lot.
And not a tree when you need one, huh?
Hoagie. What are you up to today?
Well, I gotta leave out here in a little bit. I gotta run up to Wally World, and I gotta go down to pick up a few items I can't get elsewhere. And then from there, I gotta run to go get a haircut, and then go get some lunch and get groceries today. It's that time of the month.
Good morning, Jerry. I just hollered for you there. I'm getting bored out here. The daughter was texting me back and forth, and she finally got what she wanted, a security code or something. And we got that done. How's your day, Jerry?
KO4NUE.
Acknowledging Mr. Chan. Good morning, Chan. Go ahead, Jerry, and then send it to Chan.
In the group, N4DJC. Good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well. Excuse me. Hope you're doing well. Excuse me. I'm a little hoarse this morning. But otherwise, okay. It's going to be a scorcher today. Go ahead and pick it up, Chad.
I heard all the group of wisdom in here and figured I'd find some way to associate my call sign with it. So, good morning, Tom, Rusty, Jerry. Hope y'all are doing well today. And just wanted to drop by and say good morning to you.
Hey, Chad. Good morning, Jerry. Good morning and all to Tom and all. And just sitting here in front of the computer trying to get the last few things done before I head out, get out on the road myself here and go a few places. So anyway, and I heard Tom call Jerry, so I thought I'd throw my call out there and see if I could scare him up a little bit. And so I'm going to leave it with you, Tom. I've got to go do a couple more things before I head out the door. And I'll catch you all when I get on the road, and I'll turn the radio on in the car. Catch you later. N0TR to take it. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango. Catch you all shortly.
Okay, Rusty. Nice hearing you this morning. And gas was 286 or something like that over there at Sam's the other day. But you probably know that. You watch it pretty close. And I didn't want to stand in line. There was a big line at the time. You know how that goes over there. They block the whole parking lot off. Take care, Rusty. W2T sign in 0TR. So, I'll send it to Jerry, but I'll throw a question out there to Mr. Chad. I hope everything worked out all right. I didn't hear you on the net last night, so I guess you was worn out from jumping from airport to airport. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Rusty, I'll probably catch you later on today. Yeah, I was going to ask Chad if the boss was back in town or not. I'm assuming she is, but if not, I hope she gets back soon. I know we could use the help. But now we got a guy coming across the grass today. The cable folks went up, trash yard up on the other side of where they built, finished up the new house. They got a new neighbor here, and turns out they're both from our hometown, so they're about our age and got grandchildren, so our grandchildren will be happy to see some other kids in the neighborhood whenever they come visit. But other than that, they ain't got nothing much going on here today. Just trying to take it out, get it out of the sun. Go ahead, Chad.
Hill 4NUE, she's back, and we jumped around from airport all the way from Asheville to Greenville Spartanburg yesterday. And as far as the control part goes, stand by. As far as the control part goes, well, Jerry, I got a nice 3-foot by 5-foot space that I am in total control of. That's it. but it's mine. The rest of it, the rest of it she's got, so you know how that goes.
Shoot. Well, I'm glad you're all back safely, Chad. And I was thinking about you last night. I found that little SCR checker I had made years ago. I found that the pot in it was bad, and of course, we seen that when you was there, and there goes Bernice from one horse pistol over to the other to see the doctor now after she got her sonogram. And I don't know if she sees me or not, but now she's got to go see the doctor and get the results of it. And she's been pretty close on those. You got to get up to about 70% or so. She seemed like she's coming back to the parking lot, but I doubt it. She's just going around the sign. But anyway, that potentiometer was bad. It has a switch built in, and you know, in my junk pile, I found one, Chad, with the switch and the potentiometer on it. The only difference is it's got a long shaft, but I don't care. Don't often have to check those, but the way I showed you to check them is an easy way. So, go ahead, Jerry. She saw me here. Usually it doesn't take very long in the doctor's office, and then we'll be like Willie Nelson and get on the road again. N4DJC and 0TR.
Or N4DJC. I was just thinking, I heard, remember you guys talking about those Simpson meters the other night, and I said, man, you know what, I had, when I was in sales, you know, when they were shutting all these old textile plants down, and I was buying equipment out of them, if I'd thought about it, I would have gone into the shops there and see if they had any of the, because they always had the big old black Simpson meters carrying around with them, checking equipment. And I said, man, I wish I'd had enough sense to remember to go back go through that stuff and see if anybody had one left over back in. I could have bought one probably for $10, or they probably would have thrown it, you know, when you're buying $500,000-$600,000 of equipment, they'll throw in a lot of extra stuff too to, just to get it out of there. But I imagine a lot of guys had already pilfered it out of there. But those they're bulky, but those things are, I guess they're still as good as they ever were, but I bet they're expensive as all get out nowadays. Go ahead, Chad.
4NUE, N4DJC, and then 0TR. I got one. It was issued to me when I joined the communications section there. And I love it. I don't use it for everything. You know, digital's got its advantages. But, you know, it's got the nice little mirrored scale behind it and all that. So, I do have it. It does have its purposes. But, anyway, listen, I'm right here in traffic, and I need to pay attention to what I'm doing. I just want to drop by and say good morning to you gentlemen. And I hope y'all have a wonderful day. It is supposed to be hot. Be safe. Tom, tell Miss Bernice I said hello. 73's Jerry, 73's Tom. Y'all have a wonderful evening. KO4NUE, clear.
Yeah, that's a smart thing to do. The daughter was texting me on the way down here to the hospital, and I just hand the phone to Bernice. I will not touch it because I know I'll not be doing a safe thing. And I'm too poor to pay attention anyway, Chad, as they say. Shoot. Well, Jerry, yes, I still like it. I used to use it a lot on motor generator sets, and one of the reasons is I could set it way over at the, for example, at the motor, and they were big DC motors up to, well, we had some that were 100 horse, but most of them were up to about 40 to 60 horsepower, and you'd set them over there, and you could monitor the fields, and you could see them from a distance, and I didn't usually have anybody to help me. And that was a real, you know, like the tack generator was a critical suicide circuit and stuff like that. And you could see it from a distance, and the difference is, you know, it's 20,000 ohms per volt input, so it'll load up. If you're checking something like a MOSFET or something, you want to use it on more durable things. But for ohms and stuff like that on normal checks, I like it. Even if I'm checking coaxial cable, I'll put it way out to the end and short it out the other end with a jumper and check it. Things like that. And you can use them to check an SCR, which is nice. They're just handy, and you can see from a distance. This second one that I got, I don't even, the old one's gone, but the battery's leaked in it. And this one's got a mirrored scale on it, which gives you a parallax error if you're off to the side of it. But the digitals, like the Flukes, are 10 megohms input impedance, so they don't load the circuit down as much. So they all have their place. But the digitals now, when you get a good one with 4,000 count display or something, there's a bar at the bottom of it, and its response time is excellent. I mean, you can see a spike or something when you're checking a machine tool while it's positioning or something like that. And it's faster than the digital display itself, that bar at the bottom, is my understanding anyways. I'm no expert. But I couldn't do without either one, and they're both fun to have, and I use them quite often in 4DJC and 0LTR.
And they're better shielded, too, because we had we had DC motors, all the looms, we had DC. I don't remember what the horsepower was. They were pretty good size. They were probably 4 or 5 horsepower, at least maybe more than that, but they usually had anywhere between 300 and 500 in a room. Maybe I had as many as 1,100 one time, and that magnetic field, and it would drive other stuff crazy, but I know they always use the Simpsons. And then I didn't run across the Fluke until I got interested in amateur radio, and I had one. I'm wondering if I remember what the model number was now, and it was it might have been a digital one now. I think it was. And I don't know what happened to that thing. I don't think I sold it to my, we moved a bunch over the years. Somebody probably was packed in something. Somebody probably saw it and stole it, I guess. We'd always wind up with, when we moved, we wind up with less stuff when we got there than we did when we packed it up. As always, those guys always pilfer through stuff, and they see anything looks valuable, they'll take it out and think you won't find out about it for 2 or 3 months till you get everything all unpacked, and that's probably what happened to it. But I'm not there for me. I've seen some of these other ones that are people are using now that look like they're probably Chinese made, I guess, but they look like they're pretty accurate. But I don't really have much use for one other than, I'd rather have something for to use around the house for stuff for polarity and bone check my circuits and stuff like that, something real simple. But, some of these things, I just don't, some of this cheap stuff, I don't trust it.
The thing of it, Jerry, I had an old timer tell me once, I had a cheap meter, and he said, Tom, he says, we use that for, I said, oh, just automotive. He said, don't use that at work. And he was a very smart electrician. He said, it could just, on 480 and three-phase or 240 three-phase, he says, it'll just blow that thing to pieces. It's not the right cat rating, you know. And he's right. They weren't. And then I always kept the good, it looks like Hypalon, the real flexible leads. I had a jumper one time on a 75-horse three-phase 480-volt motor, and I had jumped the control circuit, and it was a thunderstorm going on, and the air compressors were in a room by itself, and that scared me about as much as I've ever been scared. I jumped the interlock on a mag starter because I thought the points on it were bad. And I had the power off at the time, I think. But anyways, I brought it back online, and I was there. You know, an alligator clip, if you stick it on a screw head, sometimes it'll creep and then fly off. Well, I was kneeling down, and it was raining so hard, Jerry, that there was a fan on the back of the air compressor room, probably 24-inch square fan, that it was blowing against that fan and blowing water into the air compressor room. So I was kneeling down in about 2 inches of water, and that jumper jumped off, and it was 480 to ground, and it blowed 150-amp fuse. And luckily, I was far enough from it. Didn't get flash burn, didn't get shocked, anything like that. But you talk about the fear of God, if you ever heard a 150-amp fuse blow. I was so embarrassed. Another guy, Mulder, says, "You dead, Ralph?" Not yet.
Jesus moments when something like that happens. We all have them with different things and occupations. And you said, man, I really dodged one that time. And that electrical stuff, especially dealing with that kind of voltage, and as big matter, it's just people don't realize how dangerous it is. And I've seen some people do some real stupid things before, and that's one of the things that I always, I'm not a big union advocate or anything like that. That's one thing about the electrician stuff, you know, when you got a guy that's apprenticed as an electrician, knows his stuff, you know, I always paid for people that were licensed, you know, to do work on the house, because I've seen all kinds of shoddy workmanship when people are building houses. I don't see how they pass inspections sometimes, but you know, the codes change from time to time, but the general electrical codes don't change. They stay the same, just as they do with people running, you know, natural gas lines and that sort of thing too. So you have to be, you know, I've always been real cautious about that.
You are. You know, Jerry, I've seen in the daughter's house, for example, they allow them to use 14 on a receptacle, and we never ever used anything but 12 gauge on a receptacle. Now, I realize it's good for 20 amps, and the receptacles typically are 15. I always put in spec grade receptacles, so they cost more, and you might pay $6 for a receptacle, but it's rated 20 amps. And things like that. But I was working, my dad asked me to go out and work on a fellow railroader, and he was his house, and it was new. And it was a senator, actually, and Ted Tarr, I think, was his name. And I went out there on King's Highway to work on his house, and wherever there was an LR box, you know, for and they were metal back then, not plastic. Wherever there was an LR box for a light switch, they had taken what looked like a ball peen hammer and just knocked a hole in the sheetrock for it, Jerry, where the box was. It was just terrible. And I seen some guys that you wouldn't believe some of the things they done, Jerry. It was crazy. But as they say, they walk among us, Jerry.
Placing light switches here and there, you know, they'll get older. Just, you know, what they do, a lot of them are just made out of plastic, and they'll crack, and you know, then you'll lose your continuity whenever you flip it sometimes. So I've been replacing those from time to time. And I tell you one thing, there's some, so I've seen some of the cheapest light switches in the world, but you know, I was 12, I'm sure. It's not 14. It looks about what it looks close to. I think 12 is what runs out of most of the mobile radios. It looks about that size. It's solid copper, and but the way they put those things in, they just kind of cut around them. It's, you know, they were finished this house when we were buying it. So I got to look at some of it. Most of it looked okay, but you know, once they put the sheetrock up, then they get in a hurry. They think they're going to finish it up, you know, faster. And, you know, they'll cut around it. And, you know, they cut it out. It would have been a lot easier to do it. We didn't do it right, so everything lined up properly. But like I said, that's some of the problems I have with some electricians that they use. Some of them just, they're licensed, but some of them must have rolled the window down and got thrown, you know, had the window rolled down and got thrown, got thrown through it instead of having been tested and that sort of thing. But I'm just real cautious about that. You know, Lynn, my wife Lynn, it's her, when she was just a little kid, they lost their house to a fire. It was due to a faulty Georgia Power Transformer. This had been back in the 50s. And she was definitely afraid of anything like that. We had, I'm real cautious about how, we check stuff for electrical circuits and that sort of thing. And anything acts like it's not right, I always check it. There's something about it right then. But, some of the stuff they sell for switches and stuff, that is just, it is absolutely some of the biggest pieces of junk I've ever seen.
Receptacle for a dollar or light switch for a dollar. I'll pass on those. I agree. Well, you mentioned the meters earlier, and a thought just come to me. Lowe's and probably Home Depot, I don't know. But I know Lowe's has a line of Ideal tools, that brand. And Ideal, I used a lot of their stuff, pulling lube and stuff you put for two dissimilar materials on their Norlocks and things like that, and they were always real good. Now they have different grades of them, but about the second grade up or the third grade up, you can really get a fine digital meter from them anymore, Jerry. But like you say, if you don't have much use for it, they just lay around a lot, kind of like an antenna analyzer.
Cheap scale, non-digital, just analog meters I use for, I'm checking kids' toys and stuff like that, just nothing critical. And then I have battery testing, just normal household stuff, nothing in range to do the to look at my wiring, anything like that in the house. Because I generally let somebody knows what you're doing and do that. I know just enough to know not to touch things, not to touch hot wires and to check it and all that sort of thing. I've seen a lot of stuff over the years where people. Like you say, they get something grand, and that thing slips off that grand. And man, that's you're talking about some new excitement. You can get some real excitement that way.
Can. Well, I sent you the proper way to wire something in a text just now, and I sent it to Chad, too. That was a good one I saw one time. I didn't physically see it, but I had a picture from somebody sent me. It shows how the good electricians do things, Jerry.
Now I'll have to see it when I get back downstairs. I heard you call. It just took me a minute to get upstairs to get to. I'm usually listening to the handheld. It took me a minute too to get up the stairs, but I did hear you call. I really can't get out. I can't walk out on the porch on the handheld, but I'm too low to get out otherwise, other than just a scratchy signal. I'm just cautious about those things, and I got some stuff now I'm going to give somebody to put up. I'm changing out some of the, got one of the fans over here, it's got incandescent bulbs, and I'm going to change it out just to regular LED light, and I got one in the hall down there I'm going to have done as well. We changed our kitchen to LEDs and our garage to square 2x4 square LED panels, and it makes a huge difference in the being able to see, because like I told somebody, I said, well, my eyes are getting worse than I said, but I need more light.
I like a lot of light, and where I work at in the basement, I have the 6,000 Kelvin ones, and I really enjoyed them. Now, like, if we're down there at night and I'm on the radio or watching TV or something, the whole basement's lit up in red. I love the red lights when I was in the service, and they're better on the cones and the rods in the back of your retina and that. And I tell everybody that what the red lights are for is I invite all the neighbors over and we get a big bong scene. And if I remember, those was a big glass looking thing, and they had long cords, and each guy was over there smoking his marijuana. That's all I remember about it. Shoot. And they kind of look at you funny, and I said, I'm just kidding.
first college roommate was from Miami, and he was a Grateful Dead fan back in the late 60s, and I learned all kinds of stuff from him, a lot of stuff you don't really need to know, more than I wanted to know, more or less. And he stayed in the room for about 6 months and moved out. He was about as weird as I came. And he was studying. He was in college then. He's going to be a pre-med, so to speak, or science or something. And his parents told me that he was going to be a doctor. I said, okay. And he went to another school. He swapped out sometime after before I graduated down there, or might have been even the first year, he swapped out, transferred to another school, and I ran into somebody that had heard something about him. I said, where is he? And he said, somewhere down in Florida. And so he didn't make it to being a doctor, but he did work in the lens crafters.
That's 70TR. Yeah, we had a guy, he was a helper, and he was a nice fella at that machine shop, and he was just hired, but he looked like a hippie back in them days, you know, long hair and all of that stuff. And well, we was a little bit leery of him, but he seemed like an all right fella. And one day I was back by the French mill, and he was down in the pit. You know, that's where the 27-foot boring mill was. And they were shoveling chips out of the pit. And I was working on some micro switches down there for directional control. And I went to climb back up. It was a straight up and down steel ladder to get back up to the surface there, to the floor. And I can't remember that guy's name, but we'll just call him Joe. And I said, hey, Joe, I said, I got to go back and get a sugar fix here and drink a Coke or something, you know, it was time for a break. And I said, my wife made some brownies. And I said, I'm going to have a brownie and a soda or something and sit down for a minute. And he said, hey, no, I got some brownies. And I forget how he said it. And I said, no, she makes delicious brownies. I said, Bernice, whenever she makes something, it's usually good every time. Yeah, but man, these got weed in them. And I said, what do you mean weed? Sage or some kind of a spice, you know? And no, man, weed, Mary Jane. And I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, marijuana. And they put it in the brownies, Jerry.
Yo. Had been back, excuse me, back in the early 70s. That was a big deal to do that. That was not something I involved in. About all I ever did was beer. I didn't get involved in any of the other stuff. But yeah, it was pretty typical. It seemed like it got a lot worse around 72 or 73. By the time I was getting out, I was taking physics and some other. Physics and geology, some couple of sciences over at Clemson one summer, trying to, you know, get a little bit ahead or catch up from where it, you know, got behind. And big dorms there even then. And you might as well roll the window out, because I mean, it was like you in a den. Of people smoking grass. It just permeated the entire hall, and it was everywhere back then. They didn't try to hide or anything. I said, I'd try to get out of it so we'd get out.
Hey, you know, somebody drug tests you that they might, you might breathe in enough of that stuff, you might check positive. Oh, there goes a Harley, and the guy's got on a Nazi helmet and ape hanger handlebars. The old days. Anyways, his name, I thought of, it's Harold Whetstein, and his dad was a long-time mailman, and just a great person, the whole family was, but that one kid, he was the dropout in society, I guess, but I didn't know that they put that stuff in brownies. I said, I'll pass on that, Harold. He didn't last too long. They discovered him somehow, but I didn't say anything about it. As long as he didn't bother me and he wasn't endangering anybody, I, you know, I didn't even think it'd be any good if you ate it. And, if I caught somebody doing that and they were on the shop floor and endangering personnel, that was a different story. My kids always called me Mr. Safety, and I may be overly safe, but I got all my hands and fingers and eyeballs so far, Jerry. And when you work on high voltage, thank the good Lord.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango Mobile. Hello again, as they say, as that old song says. But anyway, got to stop up here and put some go juice in the car, because I'm getting down to where I think is my end of my safety level. I like to keep the tank full, and our car seems to run better when it's full. So anyway, but I'm on my way. Got to go to up here and get gas, then go to Wally World and go get a haircut, then go get some lunch, and then go get groceries. And that'll pretty well deflate my pocketbook today. Go ahead, Jerry.
You're going to have a busy afternoon. We'll got to head over to Malden today or night. We don't know yet. They got mad to pick the grandson up, take him to church this evening for his catechism studies. I hate going down Woodruff Road. That's still like taking your life in your hands at 6:30 in the evening. But, Tom, I didn't run into that kind of thing much until later on. We had trouble with people, passing drug tests. Back it started a little, and we didn't have much problem with it until about mid-80s, and then mid-80s on, it really became a problem. We had people we won't hire them, but couldn't pass the drug test. Couldn't pass the drug test. And of course, they would do things randomly like that. Normally what they would do is if somebody didn't pass, they'd just, let them try again. But they got to a point where they would, they'd refuse them. They wouldn't even let them, tell them not to come back, because, once they people that were smoking regularly like that, it never left the system.
It's N0TR. Yeah, a lot of the places that worked later on were random drug tests. And the only time I ever had a problem with one is when I started to go to work at a hospital and they detected something and they had given me something for a spastic colon that I was not having any trouble with before. And I hadn't taken one of those pills for, probably a month. And they detected it, and so I had to bring the prescription bottle in and show them. And I said, but I'm not taking that anymore. And all the pills were there, but about one. I can't remember what he gave me for it. But it was detectable anyways. And so they just let it go, and we went on with the interviews and all of that stuff. But, yeah, my neighbor works at Mitsubishi, and he said they can take a hair out of your head now and sample it and find out if you've been taking any kind of drugs.
They can do that, Tom, and check a lot of other things, too. I'll be back in a few minutes. Got to pump some gas. WUTT.
That stuff, Tom, you can take a hair out or a sample of hair. That only shows up if it's long-term use, I think. I may be wrong about that, but because people checking the kids' hair and stuff like that without them knowing about it. But, I got to jump out of here just a second. Maybe go out and grab some lunch here in a little bit. Guys going to cut the grass. Supposed to be here around lunchtime somewhere. Couldn't be doing it, so we can keep an eye on him. He does a good job, though, but have to make sure he gets all the little spaces and stuff. Sometimes he gets in such, they just fly. They look like they're NASCAR drivers out there. They go so fast over him. And sometimes I have to get him to go back over again. He goes, especially if the grass is not completely dry. It's good talking to you, Tom, and I'll probably catch you maybe a little later on this afternoon if we don't head over to Malden. But tell Bernice we said hello, and have a good afternoon. N0TR N4DJC, clear to you.
Okay, Jerry, Rusty. Good to hear y'all. And Bernice actually done better this time than she done last time. So, yeah, the doctor said, what have you been doing? The plaque on the side of the walls had diminished some. So, outstanding is all I can say. I'm glad of that because she was getting up there not too far from the surgery point. It was down in the 60s this time, and always before it's what, 70? 69, 70. It's the low 60s now, so we've been blessed. 73's Jerry, Rusty, catch you down the line. N4DJC with W2T signed, N0TR clear.
You're on the road again.
T and 0TR, we're still out for a little bit, Rusty. Bernice's arteries checked better today, so we're pretty happy about that.
That is always a good thing. That's always a good thing. Well, my phone is not cooperating with me, so I wasn't able to get gas right now. I'll have to come back later when my app is working, so I can pay for my gas and keep up with it, but you know what it is. And hello to Bernice, and good morning to both of you. So now I'm going to run up to Wally World and take care of, pick up a couple items I need there and bring you that group today.
That's the most dangerous place on earth is the Walmart parking lot, Rusty. Chad sure had to go around there yesterday. My gracious, from airport to airport. That was a mess, and it was all because of the airlines. Oh, shoot. Well, I don't think we got anything specific planned, but we're going to stop at the filling station up here on the way home, and that's about it. And then, I don't know. I don't have that plan today, but I just go out for a little ride to Landrum or something.
Next couple of days, I'm going to come over your way probably, try to get over your way tomorrow afternoon if I can. And get a couple of things done, and then I'm gonna try to run up around. I want to go up into that area, up part of the state, and do a little bit of photography over the next couple of days. I talked to Bob this morning, and he was headed off to the big event this weekend up in Tennessee.
Well, our granddaughter called yesterday, and when's she coming down? The 6th of October, and she's going to be with some other people with horses, and she's going to participate in some kind of a thing at a show at Tryon. I don't know how they afford it, but she works very hard, and she's going to college at Ohio State and carrying a big load, and still works at the stable, and she worked at Home Depot all summer, and so God bless her. That's what she likes to do, I suppose. I'm not a horse person, to be honest with you.
Bob is headed up to that big radio event up in Tennessee this weekend, event they have every year in September, and I had originally planned to try to go up to it and visit and see what some of the things were and get registered, maybe get lucky and win something up there. They give away a lot of good high priced prizes up there, radios and amps and all kinds of good stuff up there. So, but I won't make it this. I probably won't make it. Got too many things going down here, and I've got something I'm supposed to be at Friday, which is the day I would have gone up. But, I'll just have to see what goes on. I may run up there early Saturday morning and do the Saturday event and then come home. Oh, traffic's not too bad out here this morning.
I want to see you run up there, Rusty.
Two of us, Dave. Anyways, I didn't know that was going on, but I wouldn't have gone up anyways. But I know where you mean, over the mountain up there. Was Bob on the radio this morning, Rusty?
Yeah, he was on his way out. He had to go up there. He's the guy that's in charge of all the prizes for that event up there, so he had to go up there. He had a bunch of stuff, and he went up. You know, he gets up because they have people start showing up tomorrow and Friday, and Friday's registration day, and their radio boot camp thing all day Friday. And SCDOT is hiring people. Apply in person. Big old sign over here beside the road flashing that. But yeah, he's headed up there for that, and he enjoys going up there and doing that. And like I said, he's on their board or whatever it is. He helps make sure the prizes are all get there and contacts all the people about that and make sure the prizes all arrive when they're supposed to, I guess. But yep, and Dave, we don't need the smart remarks from the peanut gallery out there. Go ahead, David.
Before CPA, yep. Well, I was just trying to get a mental picture of you running. You said you were going to run up there. You might run up there. And I was just trying to get a mental picture of that. And anyway, just found a little humor there. Probably not much humor at all, but anyway. Y'all doing all right today? Go ahead there, Mr. Tom.
A beautiful day. It's going to be a hot day. It's 82 degrees here in the car, Dave. But, Bernice said, Pigeon Forge, and that's where it's at. We've been there one time with the kids, but, there's nothing up there that I need right now. That's a real nice thing that they do, and I'm happy for them, but I just don't care for the tourist trap type places. Of course, it might be less now due to the fact that the kids are back in school, but it's a pretty good drive. Well, I'll have to jump out, and so I'm going to go ahead and sign off. I got to get some push water here, and I'll say 73. Good hearing you today, Rusty and Dave. Have a nice day. This is NZTR Clerk.
Anyway, because I've arrived at the Wally World, I need to go on inside here, so I'll catch up to all of you later. 73s, and Dave, I just think about this. I used to run up and down football fields every Thursday and Friday night refereeing high school football, and I did it for 25 years, so I can still run. I may not run as fast as I used to, but I can still do it. Talk to you later. W2T clear.
Good, Rusty. You got plenty of exercise doing that, that's for sure. So, I'm hats off to you. Anyway, you have a good one, 73's, KP4CPA.
JW Mobile.
For DJW, KP4CPA. How are you, Dave?
Not in this nice, beautiful weather today, going up to the transfer station. How about you? How you doing?
Tired. I just finished a tennis match, and we started at 9 o'clock, and I'm kind of wore out. I got another one at 6, so anyway, I'll have time to recover, hopefully.
It's aching a little bit, that good kind of aching.
Good kind of aching, and I hit the scales yesterday. I don't weigh myself very often, but I'm back down to my goal weight, and so I'm really happy about that because I'd gained, I think, 14 pounds over the winter, last winter, so I wouldn't mind losing a few more pounds because I'm sure I'll gain a few pounds this winter, but hopefully not as much as I did last year.
Keep an eye on that until that doctor back in January told me what I was doing wrong. Now every time after I get off the elliptical, the first thing I do is go weigh, and it hovers. I think you're a little bit taller than me, so you're probably supposed to weigh a little bit more than me, but I hover around 184. Sometimes 82, sometimes 88, but on average about 184 and it doesn't seem to change whether I eat a whole lot, whether I exercise a lot, or whether I do neither of either. It seems to hang in there about the same all the time.
75, Dave, and it stays there. And with Bernice around, that's, I deserve a medal. Zero TR.
You do deserve a medal. I don't know how you keep the weight off. I'd weigh 300 pounds, I tell you. But anyway, if I stopped playing tennis, I'm sure I'd probably gain weight, but I don't eat that much, but it's just so hard to keep the weight off as you get older.
One day it hasn't yet. And Tom, I'd give the medal to Bernice. I'd give Amy a medal if she'd cook like Bernice. W4DJW.
Hey, Dave. I'm very blessed. All the neighbors love her too, because we share. And that's one of the ways sharing's the best thing in life, one of the ways is that, and the other ways is I play tennis every day. Shut up, Bernice. Volleyball, kickball, badminton, tennis, gym, and a little bit of highline now and then. You know, and look out, Bernice, the roof's going to fall, or the sky. And go ahead, Dave. We're not too far from home.
Say is wake up because you are dreaming. And dreaming and driving just don't work. Oh, me. I did good to play one sport, let alone multiple sports. So, anyway. Oh, me. Well, I got me a, I don't know if I told you, I got me a new camera installed in my car now. I have front and rear video, and it's really cool because I can watch it on my phone, too, while it's happening and in real time, and then I can go back and watch it. It also has a GPS, so it shows me my speed and the distance I've driven. It's just a real neat camera. It gives you a lot of information.
And probably records it to an SD card, so if you want to go back and watch it, if there's an accident near you or something like that, hopefully you're not in it, you can go back and review it. Anyway, I'm at the transfer station. I got to get out. I'll be back in just a little bit. W4DJW.
Please have a wonderful day, Dave. Yeah, we just backed in the driveway, or pulled in the driveway. Where did you get that look? I've been thinking about that ever since you said you had that other one.
This is a DD, Pi, I guess, PAI. So, double D. PAI is the brand name, and it's it's slightly rectangular, it just sticks to your windshield, and it's got a real strong adhesive, 3M adhesive, and it will not come off. And you'd have to really pull on it. And I've got all the wires hidden, so there's no wires exposed anywhere. Everything's in the A pillar and going through the headliner at the side there, to the back and all that. And I ran everything else that was up front here in the dash. I took part of the dash apart, because I just don't like wires hanging around everywhere. You know, I like to make a neat install, so that's what it did.
Send your old TR. came before CBA. That sounds wonderful, Dave, but it's more than I could do. But I wish this radar detector was like the one in the truck. I had a thing installed while they were doing my audio down there on Woodruff. The backup camera never did work with a darn in it, but it comes up on the radio in the truck. But they did do a great job on that, coming up through the dash, and then I, on this Avalon, forget it. Dave, I got to run because the Lasix or the water pill is starting to work on me, and boy, I'd like to see that though sometime. I might drive by there and put my Mark II eyeball on it. You take care, and we'll be out mobile in a little while too. KB4CBA and 0TR clear.
Have a good one, and I'll talk to you later. 73s. And 0TR, KB4CBA mobile.
DJW mobile.
Well,
open up the repeater if you got any more power. Help a little bit, but not holding up the repeater. W4DJW.
Candy talking in the front yard, so I think the battery's getting ready to go. Stand by just a second.
W4DJW, standing by.
WKE5WLL.
Hey, that's a whole lot better. What'd you do?
What base?
Oh, I thought you put new batteries in it. I was going to say, that's some good batteries you got there.
Replace the batteries. I just looked at the battery pack and it's on the last bar of it, so that's why it wasn't holding the repeater. Plus, my location doesn't, I have a hard time getting in on handheld anyways. But how are you doing this morning?
I'm amazed every time they let me drop something off at the transfer station and I leave, I feel like I got away with something. Actually, I got away with less than I came with, but I used to bring stuff up here and not know what they would accept and what they wouldn't accept, and now I'm starting to learn that, so that kind of feeling is wearing off a little bit.
You have to go to O'Neill? Pretty much anything anymore. Seems like that they used to not let you drop off even limbs in their outside containers. They had used to put them in a different spot, but now they're letting you put them anywhere. But anyways, I heard you on here, and I heard y'all's conversation earlier. I was stringing a... I'm working on stringing a 20-meter antenna out in the front, so I just wanted to say hello.
Is the 20-meter antenna up and running?
I was in the middle of putting it up when you heard you on the radio.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck with that. Let me know if you need any help. I can take a break. I'm retired now.
I may need help with my mystery antenna out back. I'm still having issues with getting it to tune right, so it may be just a spot in the yard where it is, and I don't have much to hang it on. I use a flagpole out in the backyard to hang it, so it's only about 25 feet in the air in an inverted V-type situation.
25 feet up is hard to work with. You get one 45 to 50 feet up, they work like a charm. You get it less than that 30-foot length of that twin lead that's hanging down in the middle, and they're hard to work with.
Finding that out, so. But I've had it worked for one point, but I adjusted where the legs were sitting. I'm probably going to have to put the legs back where they were, so that'll probably have to go back to where it was, because I used to be able to check in on 20 meters to at least the maritime net. Now I can't even do that right now.
And it's changed is where the legs are located.
Roger that.
Yeah, they're kind of sensitive to that when they're low. When they're low to the ground, they're hard to work with. You got to be careful with what you do. But when you get them at least 50 feet in the air, they work on all the bands except for 160 and 6. They work on all the other ones. But it's a good antenna. I like that one a lot.
It's the first time I used it was at Field Day, and that's why I went in and bought one. I was like, oh, this works pretty well. So I figured I'd try it at least in my yard, but I may have to figure out a way to get it up higher somehow. I don't have any trees that I actually have access to, so other than if I go back into the neighbor's woods, I might be able to string it on a tree there, but I don't know if I'll be able to get it into a tree.
Well, if you need some help shooting a wire over a tree, let me know. I got a slingshot that'll do that.
But to have you come over one day, and we'll take a look and see what we can figure out. Anyways, I'll let you go. I'll get back out here and continue work on this 20 at least. We'll talk to you later. K5WLF.
All right, Leroy. Good talking to you. Take care. W4DJW Mobile.